Heights.
What's good? What's good? We are back live from Vietnam. Don't look like Big Cass is going to make it tonight, but we still got a full house. We got Mr. J, we got Mr. Jones, and we got Big Face. And I am, of course, the one and only Paul Masson.
Shout out
to y'all doing tonight, fellas.
As well.
Anybody drinking on anything?
Little sassy.
Little bit. Before we get started, I want to shout out the Dizzle brand, of course.
Shout out to Dizzle. Hey, if you ain't dizzling, is you really doing anything right now?
We just posted a video with DJ Battlecat shouting out Dizzle, you know. So the question is, do you dizzle? That's the question now. Do you dizzle?
100% I dizzle with all my nizzles.
Before we get into topic, I want to say that we're going to try to move the podcast to 7 o'clock next week. So we're going to try everybody come on at 7 p.m. And we move it to 7 p.m. because we moved it to 6:30 before. And we're going to move it back to 7 p.m. because we don't have to accommodate nobody going further.
I'm just going to let you know, man, I'm on CP time. So I'll show up at 7:15.
As long as you're awake, we good.
You know what? All right.
You show up at 7:15. You're going to sit there and watch. You're going to watch us podcast that episode.
Yeah, I just want to say peace to Mr. J. For that's not giving me the business like these other two cats.
He don't know you well enough yet. He don't know you well enough yet.
Mr. J is giggling. I see that shit.
No, he's not. He's just smiling. He's good.
Word to the big face.
I'm good. But I did hear some rumors about Lil Uzi Vert taking his spot, though, bro. I don't know how valid that was.
Mr. Jones' spot.
I don't know how valid that was. I don't know.
That's the rumors.
If y'all want to have a brr, y'all want to get show, all right, y'all do that.
All right. I mean, it could be anybody that's on that couch. I can't see shit. It could be anybody. That's anonymous.
What the fuck?
I know, right? That might be Lil Uzi on the couch right now. I can't even tell.
Wesley Snipes is in the building. We got Wesley Snipes co-hosting tonight, right, my man, Mr. Wesley Snipes.
This is after paying taxes, Wesley Snipes. Understand that.
Charlie Murphy. Maybe Charlie Murphy. Charlie Murphy.
Are y'all really not able to see me?
I mean, we can see you, but half of your face is dark.
It's like Jimmy.
Half of your face look like MF Jimmy. Doom, like you got an MF Doom mask on or something.
All right. Let me make some adjustments. I'll be right back.
Damn. Oh, I'm fucking up the show.
Well, look at y'all. Fucking up the show.
Live from Vietnam, and don't forget to tune into the Paul Pickett podcast and get your dizzle on, and look for the upcoming Circle of Kings for all your combat sports and local Fayetteville music type shit.
And all Mr. J, right, before we get about to the topic, shout your joint out. Shout your stuff out.
Yeah, shout your joint out, Mr. J.
Yo, Underground Experience, you know what I'm saying? Coming November 18th.
Jones disappeared. Artist block. Lighting, but we're going to go ahead and get it started.
Hey, Mr. J, we need to go ahead and do a table out there with the Live from Vietnam table at your event. We need to have a table. You know what I'm saying? We can go out there and check it. What you think, Mr. Pickett?
Something, Mr. J.
Sound like a plan?
All right, so we got a missing link, Mr. Jones, but we're going to get it started. Today's topic is going to be what hip-hop album debuts had the biggest impact.
Woo. Mr. J, go ahead. Let's just start us off.
Go
Mr.
ahead
J.
and start. Yeah, go ahead and start it, Jay.
Well, I mean, you have to figure out what the specifics are. You know what I'm saying?
No specifics. He's asking your opinion, Mr. J, what you thought was the biggest debut albums, the first album of that artist. They could have been in a group, but then dropped an album, right? So debut individual artist.
Well, you know, for different years, it might be a different impacts, a different, different movements started.
Well, let's start with like the '80s.
Let's start with 80s. Ooh,
Well, I got opinions. My same is going to be the same no matter what. You know what I'm saying? Like, I view hip hop as a whole, and no matter how old or new it is, to me, it's cultural relevance for me personally, mm-hmm. my opinion. Now, I can't speak for everyone. I can only speak for me. But I don't want to bring Jay. I want you to, because Jay, you're the historian of the shit. But I can't. I'm not breaking mine. You're gonna see my list. Like, I got a mad list, but my top five it ranges. I'm sorry, Mr. Jay. I mean to interrupt you, though.
No, you're good.
Who's gonna start then? Who's gonna start?
No, I want Mr. Jay to go on. I just wanted to preface. I see he's setting. You know, Mr. Jay. He like the Professor X. He's setting parameters.
He's setting parameters. The black, the green.
Yeah. He likes to say, well, what are we talking about here? I mean, what are we talking about? Let's set it. Yeah. So go ahead, Mr. J. Sorry.
Well, you know, you said you wanted to start with the 80s. So, I mean, for me, it might be It Takes a Nation of Millions from P.E. That kind of started off a lot of conscious stuff. Power from Ice-T. That kind of set off a lot of gangster, you know, a lot of the, you know, reality rap. You know, they wanted to call it reality rap, and the media wanted to call it gangster rap. So, but that kind of set off that key. We can go to the 90s. Which started a whole new West Coast wave, so that would probably be the Chronic.
But the Chronic has to be on everybody's top. I mean, I don't see how you can not see that as the top debut type record. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jay.
Mm-hmm. You good? And as far as a group movement, probably the biggest collection movement, it'd probably be the 36 Chambers of the Wu. You know what I mean? Absolutely. That kind of launched so many different people. Probably the biggest collective. Yeah, probably the biggest collective in hip hop ever. I don't know who's matching that.
It wasn't just a collective. Look what they spawned. I mean, let's get on that for just a minute. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking about a record, 36 Chambers, that spawned. Like, every single record on that record is a smash joint. One, you had a collective of so many MCs that then went on to release debut albums that summer on this list we're talking about tonight as well, by the way. They'll have multiple. And then they spawned Sons of Man, all these other entities.
GP Wu, Remedy, Joe Myalansky.
Females, it's dozens and dozens and dozens. So, that is a huge debut record. It created a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Producers as well, you know.
From clothing to woo-wear to production of movies. I mean, that debut album, they never topped that, by the way, as a collective. They make good music separately and together, but never topped into the 36. And look what they recouped off that. Probably the most lucrative endeavor Loud Records anyone could ever have made.
The length they ate off that album was at least two, three years strong.
Was got them to sign contracts where they could have independent solo records was unheard of.
I let Jones chime in.
Sorry.
You good?
36 Chambers is the joint. But then you get to album number two.
Well, we're on debuts, though.
We're on debuts, Jones. We're staying on debuts.
My bad, folks. You know,
biggest impact debuts, and Wu-Tang is definitely somewhere at the top of my list.
I want to stick with 36 Chambers. I'm gonna stay where we are. 36 Chambers, nice. It is like that. I never heard nothing like that before. I heard Run DMC. I heard Houdini. Then this damn 36 Chambers just up from the 36 Chambers. Like, wow, like, what are y'all doing? And then we start getting used to it. We're like, oh, okay. Like, oh.
You better protect your neck. That was my shit. Like, oh, God damn.
It was like.
But I thought we was in the 80s. How the hell did we get the Wu-Tang?
Well, this is going through different decades.
I can't do decade by decade because, I mean, honestly, man, There's a ton of great debut albums in hip hop.
Let's start with this. Who was the first debut, the first big debut impact? The first one.
I mean, personally, that's each man's different. I mean, first big record that I can remember, License to Ill. Huge.
They're on the top of my list. Beastie Boys are up there high on my list. Yeah, Beastie Boys are
rocking that forever. I mean, back to back. Paul Revere, I couldn't get over Paul Revere. It would knock your 12s. It would blow your windows out. And me and my horse, and Paul Revere, I remember it was like I was 9 or 10 years old. I mean, so it was huge, huge.
And you know what? That's a real debut. It's a real debut because I wanted to bring up Run DMC, but I'm thinking about Run DMC's second album.
EPMD, Strictly Business, really meant a lot to me. That's in the 80s. I mean, that was a huge debut for me.
Double or the PMD.
You drive on my list. They're on my list.
Spooky. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
for the 80s, I'm more of a late 80s, early 90s through the 90s. I feel like that you're still feeling that impact in all of hip hop, by the way. That late 89 to 96, you're at 99, you're still hearing that right now.
And yo,
that's the golden era of hip hop.
Rest in peace to MCA, man. For real.
Well, I mean, so if we're just going strictly like if we're gonna talk about strictly top five, right? My top five is Outkast, Southern Playlist, number five. Outkast, Southern Playlistic, number five. Wu-Tang is definitely number one.
We still in 94 right now. Understand that.
Oh. We in 94.
Well, he's just going over his top five real quick.
No.
Let's go ahead and tell his top five.
What I'm saying is Outkast's first album and Wu-Tang album, they was in the same year.
All right, so we got number five is Outkast Southern Playlistic. We got Wu-Tang is number two. My top album, let's just get to that, man. Ice Cube, America's Most Wanted. Top debut album. Changed my life. I rocked it. Almost got me sent to jail. I mean, it changed the way I look at everything around me. It showed me something that growing up in trailer parks in the hood in Fayetteville, that, hey, man, that I hadn't even heard or seen. And, man, he liked he was storytelling to the 20,000th degree. You could see every song on that album. You could visually. I remember riding through DeVille. I just got my license. I'm whipping. I'm going through the hood, picking my dudes up. We up to no good. And you could see what he was talking about when he said the ghetto bird. You could see what he's talking about when he was taking you on them rides. America's Most Wanted is my number one. Lauryn Hill, I mean, Miseducation. Well, Lauryn Hill, debut album. Woo!
But hold on, let's stay on Cube, though. Let's stay on Cube. Not only, he was also part of one of the biggest debut group albums with N.W.A.
Yeah. 100%.
And Dr. Dre as well with The Chronic. I mean, there's a lot of big debuts.
That's a top five album. And then, okay, also then D.O.C.'s debut was a top 20.
He's on the list, too. Yeah. He's on the list, too.
Right there. If he didn't lose his voice, you know, he's probably maybe Tupac status.
I wanted to jump off of what Faith said, because Ice Cube is real crazy. It's,
man, his story, so
his story is crazy.
That debut album, remember, his back was against the wall, bro.
Here's what I got to say, and I'm glad you brought Ice Cube's first solo, his solo album. This cat went from the West Coast. Dr. Dre was making the beats. Or you had Battle Cat somewhere around. Or you had DJ Pooh somewhere around. On the West Coast. And then this dude broke up with the group, but went to the East Coast. In his first album, it's produced by the Bomb Squad.
The Bomb Squad.
And the Bomb Squad.
He had a producer, he lost Dre.
This dude had
Bomb Squad.
Vocals, man. That's all I'm saying. Great choice.
Well, let's let Mr. J get back in here too, chime in some more.
Now, I just wanted to do a sidebar to that DOC joint. Like, you know, I got that joint that nobody does it better. That even I got the Helter Skelter, the second one he did where he lost his voice. Like yeah, to me, it was still dope. Even though he's lost his voice, it's still dope.
Because he can write as a writer, man. DOC is a dope writer. If you're a writer, you're gonna love
what he does. Speak on it, Face.
I wait for that Helter Skelter album, man. I was so depressed, man. He lost his voice, man. It was what a tragic shit. Tragic for the music business. If Van Halen lost his fingertips.
The ticky ticky tock, yeah. Y'all.
But check this out, though. On that note, that's always the prime example I use of what's the excuse of you're not making music still. DOC lost his voice, and he loves it so much, he still had to put out that album. He had to.
Yeah, he actually put out two, I think. He put out two more albums after that. Yeah.
Many.
And word to Face, he was still writing for cats.
Still writing for cats like crazy.
Mm-hmm. And I think he's got some voice therapy he was doing.
How do we get this deep, Mr. J, and didn't mention Ready to Die, one of the most anticipated the best selling.
We still on debuts? Oh yeah. Debuts, man. Ready to Die. Ready to Die is
Diamond certified, just changed all of
but hey, your Face, we got to stick on the one. No, album.
This is right on task right here. This is okay, right on task. Okay.
But all right, well, I'm gonna take it, man. You just said Ready to Die is nice. Ready to Die is perfect. That album. I mean, just the beats alone. We don't play that. We don't play that. G Unit. We don't play around. You know what I'm saying? It's like.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you were on some other shit. That wasn't.
Are you drunk?
Somebody said you. No.
You might want to have trying. A bread sandwich, Mr.
Go
Jones.
Ahead. Go ahead and rewind. Well, you know what? I was still thinking about the first album, which is real dope. That's what
we
I'm
are,
talking
yeah,
about.
We are thinking about the first album, Debuts, Biggie Smalls, Ready to Die, lots of classic material. Mr. J, what do you think about the Ready to Die album?
Debut. I get it. All
right. Cool. Yo, that's right up there with what I was talking about, the Chronic, you know what I'm saying? The resurgence, like you had a West Coast resurgence and then you had an East Coast resurgence. He led the East Coast resurgence, you know what I'm saying? And to kind of tag on to the Ice Cube thing, because Ice Cube was his favorite rapper, you know what I'm saying? He kind of had that influence and that storytelling ability. So, you know what I mean? From front to back, it's just, you know, as a classic, there's no skips on that album.
Definitely no skips and painted a great picture. And even the only feature on that entire album was Method Man.
Yeah.
And which was crazy, right? And that was the only song that felt forced. It was good still, but the rest was just immaculate, man. And it showed the power of what Puffy was about to do. That once again, as you're talking debut, like profound debuts, like, I mean, Paul.
What? I didn't hear a question in there.
Your Face.
Your cracker ass cracker.
I'm looking at this list, like the names that we ain't said. I mean, like.
So how about this? Well, let's talk about this.
It don't matter about the list.
Records, Outkast, Southern Playalistic is just, as far as effect on the entire hip-hop movement, it painted the South in finally a picture of intelligence. Because before that, it was Miami bass sound. It was, well, the South, you know, they don't really kick nothing. They changed the land. Like you said, the Source Awards that year, the South got something to say.
South got something to say.
All right, because that to me, a debut record to come out of nowhere that year, you had them and Wu come out the same year. I mean, the end of that year, I mean, just that's amazing. You know, I mean, just crazy, man.
And to your point, you know what I'm saying, to kind of expound on it, you know, You had Goody Mob, which is another collective that came out of that whole Dungeon family. Yeah, man. That Soul Food album.
By the way, shout out to the whole Dungeon family. I got some, I follow and we correspond. Man, the beats they had in progress then, the sound, woo! All of them. There was a group more than just that, but Soul Food, man. Yeah, good, Mr. J. Yeah, for real.
Just to make this even funnier of a podcast, I got to throw out a name that Jones really hates that I'm going to throw out.
Oh, man.
What up, Jones?
Fucking Nelly, man.
No. All right. Hold up. I'm going to act like
sold out the gate.
Country Grammar went diamond, y'all. Country Grammar went diamond.
True.
No, John's like going to go in on it. Let him go.
Hey, Nelly fucked Madonna. Nelly fucked all of it. Hey,
Big Daddy Kane fucked Madonna.
Yes, he did. And he fucked your grandma, I think, that one time over by the safe coat. No.
Big Daddy Kane, it's called The Sex Book. Madonna put it out.
Hey, why are you talking about Big Daddy Kane's debut is pretty high up there, too. You know what I'm saying?
It's well up there, you know.
Yeah, he's on the list as well. I mean, he's on the fucking cover with a chick feeding them grapes, one fucking handing them out, and the other damn
Black Moon
giving them water.
I just want to skip back to Outkast. Rico Wade needs his credit. Rico Wade,
yes, sir.
All day.
Powers to Rico Wade. Like, very underrated. There needs to be some kind of behind the music motherfucking documentary on Rico Wade. No one ever talks about him, ever. And he's responsible not only Dungeon Family, he's involved in the Babyface, all that shit, all that. I mean, on both sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
With Jermaine Dupri's father, all that shit.
Talk about it. Let's do that.
Mr. J, let's get together on a side note. Mr. All J. Right. Let's work on that doc. We got that. That's the doc they need. Let's figure it out.
All right.
All right. So we still talking about
the Lauryn Hill, y'all. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. I mean, when most saying,
"Oh, you came ready. You came ready." All right.
I mean,
a bit of bigger female debut.
Oh, I'm gonna hit you with one. I ain't even hit you with this one yet.
No. Let's stick on Lauryn Hill.
Talk about Miss Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, stay there.
Changed hip hop, changed the way I viewed female MCs. She could out rap you and out sing you. It was
it's funny how money changes situations.
Writing her own shit.
Mm-hmm.
She got Mary J. on the album. She got Mary J. on the album. She got D'Angelo on the album. She got her on the album. That's a dope ass album, man. That album is incredible. It's so incredible.
There's not one skip, like Mr. J said. There's not a skip
on
that album.
No skips on that.
And then, you know,
23 years later, they're still using it on. I heard Zion on a commercial the other day.
Oh, wow. That's a dope song. That was a song about her first son.
Yeah. He's grown now. And he's on Cadillac commercials. I mean, I'm just saying.
My man said it, Cadillac commercials.
She can be late as she wants to be. I don't give a fuck. That's Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, hey, she deserves to, you know, feel how she feels about the industry and sometimes her fans because, you know, she's been through it.
What she knows. That's all I got. We don't know what she knows.
She's been through it.
Hey, yo, yeah. All I got to say, if anybody deserved to be late, she can be late. What y'all going right, to do? Y'all going to jump on stage and sing?
All right. So, you know, everybody got these top MCs, you know, Lot 5, dopest MCs. I truly believe that it's a personal thing, and I don't care if there's 1,000 top fives. None of it makes me mad.
I hate
my favorite MC is definitely not what most people's are, but his debut album was very changing for me as a writer because I was working on my music, and it changed the way I looked at the way I wrote. So my number, like a high up top debut album for me is Mos Def, Black on Both Sides.
Oh man, that's one of my
favorites. Let's go, yo! I'm about
to
draw the fade on there. I'm gonna give you
amazing music. He changed the way I look at the way you write hip hop and the way you view the things you write about. So for me, I mean, it was a huge record. I'd like to hear what y'all thought about that.
Yeah, man. My Omi says, and it's New Fat Booty.
With Busta Rhymes was on there on talking about, yeah. I mean, just amazing. The greatest storytelling rhyme of all time, I think, Miss Fat Booty. I mean, he walks you right through it. Then she came with the same type of game, the type of girl giving out the fake cell phone and name.
Yeah.
Took me through it.
Big fame.
Went right through it. I could do the whole thing. I mean, but it's an amazing debut, and it changed. And this is a cat who has a Tony from being on Broadway, he was on huge blockbuster movies, does shit on his own terms, lives, you know, is a man of leisure. But he moves around and makes what he feels like is something. That's a dude. That's a true artist, man. And that's what hip hop is all about, really, is most deaf. I think he embodies that shit.
And yo, how many?
I like a little bit of the flossier shit myself sometimes, but you can't fuck with him, literally.
How many rapper MCs made a movie with Bruce Willis? It's only most deaf. He's the only one.
I can't believe y'all forgetting the name that had the best first year in hip hop ever.
Yo, Paul, what's up? Don't
X baby.
Yes, it's hell is hot.
Two albums in the same year. Yeah, both of them go platinum.
Word up, Mr. J.
Yeah,
word up.
And both of them go platinum. That's just crazy.
Hey, yo, where the hell did you get that title from? It's Dark and Hell is Hot. That's the name of your album?
Yeah. Well, he got it from the Bible. Like, he got most of the shit he got. It says it right in the Bible. It's a line in Romans. It is dark and hell is hot. Hey, so how about this? DMX transcended a lot of things. When he came out, it was a lot about materialism, and nothing he was rapping about had anything to do with materialism. It was, it's my time to eat. Y'all been eating long enough. Stop being greedy. You know, it's time to give to the... It was all some old, I'm just a grimy dude with pit bulls.
It was knockout after knockout, man.
But you know what? In real life, DMX was 5'7", 147 pounds out of DD2 DMX.
You know what it was? It was King of New York. It was King of New York. You guys got fat while I was gone.
DMX is from Yonkers.
You guys got fat while I was gone.
I just
Nickelback is sold in a park. I want in.
I just want to raise my hand and say peace to the state of New York. I never been there. I'm not y'all. Y'all
I got my little wifey for 16 years from here. Brooklyn, man, straight out of there.
Check this out. This dude. The first time I heard
Stranger to Gray, who's in the building, who took me to New York.
Oh, peace to Stranger.
Only time I've been.
Stranger. Yeah, what up, Stranger?
Hey, yo, the first
what
time
up, Stranger,
I heard.
Stranger, my man. Stranger
the
great.
First time
baby.
I heard DMX. He's this
listening
dude said,
in right now.
That kid
That's
said.
My guy. Hey, and while we on that, hang on. Shout out to fucking the celebrity guru, Maserati Santana, baby. Yeah, that dude is everywhere. Y'all want to be, man. Every time I'm doing something, he's the hardest working dude in the CAC.
All right, go ahead, Jones. Fizz, what you say?
The first time I heard the cat, he said, "What must I go through to show you shit is real?" I was like, "Wait a minute, like, what are you talking about?" And then he just keep going. "What must I go through to show you shit is real?" Like, wow. All right, you know, everybody else I know, they talking about, you know, somebody's shoes. I got the most skills. This dude's like, what must I go through to show you shit is real?
Yeah,
I never gave a fuck.
Definitely had a spiritual base in his shit. And hey, we've gotten this far, y'all. I don't know how long we are into this, but we ain't
30 minutes exactly almost.
All right, 30 minutes. We haven't
seen
the timekeeper. Which, come on, y'all. Cypress Hill, self-titled.
On the list.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
Thank you.
I could just kill a man, sawed off shotgun.
Sorry, gun.
No skips.
It's from the bomb.
Pigs.
DJ Muggs produced the shit out of that. Produced almost that entire album. It was crazy, man. Crazy.
I brought some other cats through, like Tres Delincuentes, Psycho Realm.
Well, like, and then Del the Funky Homo Sapien, who is your boy's man. And what's his brother's name?
I got a t-shirt. I got a t-shirt in the room.
Alchemist. Alchemist. I mean, yeah,
that was fine.
Cypress Hill, man, they had that Cheech and Chong thing going, man, and everybody fucking loved it, yo.
Well, first of all, that first album, I thought them cats was from New York. They came grimy. I did too. West Coast, they from LA.
I did too.
So grimy, and that whole that horn they used on the "How Could This Kill Him," and that damn, and that first video, they was looking like they was under. They looked like they was in Brooklyn, man. I thought Cypress Hill was somewhere in Brooklyn. I'm from North Carolina.
I thought they was East Coast too, Face. I thought they was East Coast.
Came with that East Coast, and then they went. They can do whatever. That's Be Real, man. That his brother was Funk Dubious. Be Real's brother is Funk Dubious, and he had some dope, and he was on that, and he's hip hop. You know, Funk Dubious.
You know what? I noticed
the Bitches of Superho. Shout out to Funk Dubious, the Bitches of Superho.
Yo, no, Nate, man, they got that. If Your Soul Loved the Sun, Money Rock On.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, man. They had
one of my favorites.
Joint. What up, man? Yo, Mr. J knows. All right. But yo, it might not be popular with other people, but Alcoholics, man. Their first album.
Yeah, that fucking makes sense.
You know why? Because they crew, they family. You know why? Yeah, my brother. You know, yeah. I love the Alcoholics. It's like,
yeah, make room only if I'm drunk.
Make room for the crew of beasts that thumps. Yes, and they came through.
How do we not said Illmatic yet, you sons of bitches?
Well, because it's the easiest one.
Beginning of the show.
It's the easiest one.
Nobody say Illmatic.
It's the easiest one. Nas Illmatic. Yeah, it's super easy.
Hey, yo, we had to dance around.
Okay, here's one.
Go ahead, Face. Mr.
Jones, here's a debut album that changed the way hip-hop moved. Young Jeezy Thug Motivation 101.
He's on my list.
Trap music. I mean, mainstream. He made it mainstream.
Yeah.
That album made trap mainstream. Everyone followed behind that. The T.I.'s, all those things. They didn't eclipse what Thug Motivation did.
You brought up one, but we're going to stick with Jeezy. And then we're going
What's your thoughts on that? To me, that was my first experience with trap.
I agree. No, Jeezy's on my list. T.I.'s on my list. Rick Ross is on my list.
Of course. But that all those, motivation
all three
was
of those cats on my list.
Motivation. No.
What's your joint? What's your joint off of Thug Motivation? What's your joint?
Mr. J, what you think?
Man, it's hard to pick one off of Thug Motivation.
It's not about what's our joint. It's what was the impact.
What's the impact of that
those albums
album?
That album had a big lead in, like him coming from Boys in the Hood.
There you go, that bubbling.
You know what I'm saying? They had that push and that bubbling from Diddy and that Bad Boy South movement that they were trying to do, so that really kind of made him pop up. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mad street cred.
and that's my thing. That cat said on the Boys in the Hood joint. He said, "I'm remembering the line later." But it shit was so fucking funny to me. And I don't sell drugs. I never sold drugs. It was like,
Maybe some ass.
Yo, you still owe me, so bring a stack. I'm like, oh shit.
We mentioned a female MC earlier when we talked about Lauryn Hill, but what about another really big debut album from a female, Super Duper Fly by Missy Elliott, which really established Timberland as a genius. And she, by the way, that album's diamond. That album went diamond. So that's insane. Missy slept on, but that's a big debut album.
So was her production skills. Like her production skills too.
The Rain, like, man. That cat.
Her writing.
Lots of artists, by the way. Lots of R&B artists you don't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, I love Missy, man. Because it's like, I'm a big Busta Rhymes fan, which I love his first album. But I gotta go back.
We really missing some cats. What about Eric B and Rakim? First album. Rakim changed the game, the first album, I mean.
You really want to go there? You want to go there?
Yeah. He's on the Mount Rushmore hip hop for me.
All right, I mean. All right. The first album is Eric B for President, and they had Check Out My Melody. They got I'm fucking up. Oh man, they got Eric B for President. They got How Can I Move the Crowd? They just got
There's no skips, which is what makes a great debut album, right? No skips.
Thank you, Face. And how could I forget? They got Paid in Full. It's all the same.
No doubt.
So why are you saying that? Of course, Rakim being one of the greatest of all time. I mean, he's on most people's
and
top 10, album. If not top 5, right?
And the first album is real good. He's the
inventor of the double rhyme. If you write rhymes, he's the inventor of the double rhyme syllable at the end, rhyming.
According to a guest in the podcast, I'm overselling it. According to Stranger Great, I'm overselling the album as far as the impact.
Overselling it.
He said it was really just the singles and not the album. So maybe I'm just drinking too much diesel.
It doesn't matter because here's the impact. It solidified Rakim as, first of all, it's a pillar of what became, we all view Rakim as a rap god. Okay. And he wouldn't be a rap god without Eric B for President. I mean, so.
Stranger the Great says nobody listens to that album.
No,
do you listen to the album?
But at the time,
Stranger the Great.
Okay, let's look at this way.
Y'all think and pop MC, up,
Mr. Jones.
It's good to have a crowd guest that's up to the
MCs. MCs listen to that album because they changed the way they rapped.
It's incredible. I know
these cats though definitely had an impact, and that's.
So what about Wolf in Sheep's Clothing?
Black Sheep.
They're on the list. Yeah.
Classic debut.
Strobe Light Honey and.
Stranger than Grace says we can't mention Black Sheep without De La Soul.
No, yeah, hey, free.
Yeah, we ain't got that yet.
Yes, 100%. It's right here on my notes on the side. Yes. 100%.
This is a good episode.
Hey, yo, I'm going to be honest. I was like
whoa, pump the fucking brakes. If we all over here, I got to say Mecca and the Soul Brother.
Go ahead,
Mr. Jones.
Let's let Mr. J get in too, man. Mr. J, listen.
You four leg lock, man.
But for real. Did you make a wrestling reference? Ooh. Did you do that?
I'm gonna be a limousine.
Hey, let me tell you something. Brother. I saw Ric Flair at Cumberland County Civic Center in 1989. I was there.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to De La Soul. D103 FM, Friday nights. That's when I heard De La Soul plug tuning. It was my joint. And I was recording tapes, you know. I was recording over my my mom and dad blues tapes. All right, let's move forward.
All right, blues cool. Tape. I saw them at Cat's Cradle when
Cat's Cradle.
Plug 2 was still alive. When Plug 2 was still alive. I have a picture that's still on my Facebook with me and my brother and Plug 2.
So in the words of Rakim, I'm just going to take my little story and put it in my pocket for later. All right, that's a good one.
So, okay. While we there, and once again, Paul, you know, what about Run DMC's debut album, man? I mean,
they're on the list. Self-titled Run DMC.
By the way, those are huge.
Self-titled.
Here's where they get lost because they were the beginning. Maybe they weren't as intricate. Maybe other rap styles were more ferocious, more creative, more impressive. But LL and Run and all those cats then. There would be no next without them. They had to come up and win, and they went. They won.
I like.
Your parents was telling you that LL and them was a fad. They were saying, like, Run DMC, LL Cool J, that shit's a fad. And look, it's the number one genre for the past, 30 years and counting.
Keep it going. Country, keep it going.
In they goddamn songs. Country motherfuckers rapping they shit.
That's hey, yo, I love what Face said, because when Run DMC first came out, and they wasn't first. They wasn't first. But when Run DMC came out, you know who was out? Willie Nelson was out.
I fucked with Willie Nelson.
Think about that. Think about that. Hey, Willie Nelson was on tour.
Somebody
got to
get Mr. Jones records. Hey, somebody. Hey, where the Mr. Jones? Where the set? Where mother gonna come out with a hood and get you now? Mr. Sandman gonna go.
No. What I'm saying is, people were out at the same time. Nobody questioning Country Western.
Yo, we ain't doing country debut albums. That's a whole different podcast.
I'm not doing that.
He's making comparisons. Comparisons during the time.
Thank you, Mr. J. I'm not doing that.
I hear you go.
Willie Nelson, Dolly Parton, they were the people.
Which Willie Nelson debut joint? What was your joint on his debut album?
I don't know. I just know that Run DMC came out while Willie Nelson was platinum, and Run DMC went gold. They were like, oh, this rap shit ain't gonna make it.
1950-11. Shit, that motherfucker old as dirt.
I just know.
I thought he was going to go Kenny Rogers. Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton.
Oh, man, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. Run DMC come out. Like, oh, shit.
Islands in the stream like a motherfucker.
What
stream in? Vodka. Vodka, bitch.
I'm not disrespecting anybody. I'm just saying it was like we were looking at Dolly Parton and then Run DMC drop. It's like, you know, oh, we got some more music. That's all I'm saying.
All right, so I'm gonna throw a name out for y'all. Duggish Ruggish Bone.
Yeah, that first
Duggish
album.
Ruggish Bone. Creeping on the Come Up. We said that. Creeping on the Come Up.
Say, yeah.
By the way, off that record, man, my shit was that Creeping About the Woods. People lost that. I was in a Job Corps, and it was like a year before they came out. And a dude from Ohio was in Job Corps with me. And he had this record, man. He was like, yo, this Bone, they're going to be big. And Creeping on the Come Up, man. Creeping up and out of the woods, got to live up to the hoods. Man, I was stuck on it. The way they rapped, I'd never heard nothing like it in my life. And, yo, it definitely changed because it started that sing-song delivery type shit. The whole do or die. Everybody that came beyond that became from that Bone shit, right?
Yeah. They started their own little... That stems from NWA as well.
Hey, where is Mr. Yeah. Jones?
He disappeared. I don't know what happened.
I mean, even you had Tongue Twister before that, but his thing didn't catch on. People were kind of fighting against that.
I saw Tongue Twister on George the Michael Steele's Midnight Sports Show as the record holder for fastest talking human before I knew he
back
was
back in the building. Jones,
Well, yo, hold on. I feel like I'm flexing now. I'm like, yeah, I got a laptop and a phone.
And you still look like Charlie Murphy.
Hey, don't let me tell your story. That's going to be funny. Like, yeah, stories from Jones.
Yeah, please. Yeah, I love Jones stories. Anyway, Jones, we're talking about debut hip-hop albums still.
You know, if you ain't ready, you just came in.
How about the other side of the world?
Hold on. Hey, yo, Paul. Hey, yo, Paul. Mrs. J.
Right here. How about the other side of the world by Big Face?
Oh, I got a whole story about that song, which is real dope.
Let's not tell it here, my friend. So
I'm going to throw another name out for y'all. Dead Prez.
Yes, Live Free. Yeah, man. Love it.
Live Free or Die Trying.
Hip hop, mind sex, Lord, what's the other ones? Teaching my children.
Listen, hip hop,
lying to the children.
Hip hop is one of the dopest.
Jones just got me drunk. He said, "Live free or die trying."
Oh, Get Rich or Die Trying is another one we didn't say. Hey, 50, man. His debut album.
That's what he was trying to say earlier.
Hey, Mel Gibson was on that shit with him. This motherfucker said, give me free, bitch.
What the fuck is...
Yeah. You remember that Vietnam give me free shit.
Give me free or die trying.
I'm just saying this shit is live. Sometimes a cat mess up.
It got
some
shocking robots.
Oh my god.
Somebody go get Paul.
Somebody moderate. I can't stay in my seat. Free or die trying. So, the best episode yet.
I do want to say this. I want to say this.
It's only up from here.
So we're talking about the 36 Chambers, and we mentioned that they had a bunch of members do solo albums. To me, the most impactful debut of that was Only Built for Cuban Links, which Raekwon just established himself as a storyteller. Like that's a mafioso at its best, yo.
I love that.
Hey,
song.
Mr. Jones, love that song. Hang on, man. Hang on, man. I'm gonna come over there. Don't make me come over there, Mr. Jones, into your split screen.
Man, I'm about to close my laptop on you.
You're not lying.
I'm good.
I'm good.
All right, I'm good.
Only Built for Cuban Links was like that. To me, it was like the crescendo of that whole mafioso New York rap. And he crushed it. I mean, out the park type shit. That was dope. My favorite debut solo.
And you got to add Ghostface too. Iron Man.
Well, closely followed by Iron Man. Okay. And T'Cal, man, even Meth don't like T'Cal. So, I mean, it's a good album. Yeah. But
it's a good album. But I'm... My favorite was Liquid Swords. My favorite was Liquid Swords.
That's my favorite.
Oh, my God. I listen to that all day. All day.
I was waiting for the
just that intro.
Let's go.
And just that intro. Changed my life. I mean, that record actually changed the way. It's one of those records, man. No skips. He just crushed that shit.
Even though, and it's Stranger to Grace said that ain't his debut album, but that is probably the best.
No, his debut album was Prince Hakeem.
Words
of a Genius. Words of a Genius.
Signed to what, Columbia or something like that.
Yeah, Prince Rakim was RZA. That was RZA.
He was like be nice and
smart about GZA. GZA does crazy wordplay. He got songs like Animal Planet.
The RZA was Prince Rakim.
That cat said, "Tommy ain't my motherfucking boy." That cat just jumped out the gate talking about labels. Yeah, I love hip hop. Let's get it in. Debut.
Yeah, man.
Didn't play first album.
Let me throw in a local one. Bomb Shelters.
For us?
Yeah, man.
For me? All right. Yes.
Oh, you want to go there?
Impactful. Very impactful, man. Changed my life. Mr. J?
Man, that's the top. That's the top of the tops right there. The Bomb Shelter.
And I gotta go with number two, the Black Watch 21st Century. That was a pretty good debut album.
Are we going from best debuts in hip hop, or now are we going to local?
Well, I mean,
this is live for Vietnam, so we try to do some Vietnam shit.
You know what? I'm gonna go with something. I'm gonna go with Big Face. So there it is.
Well, the record was called Other Side of the War. So There It Is was a song on there.
Oh, go ahead. Promote the album. Promote everything.
Well, I would say this. I mean, Bomb Shelter's album, we took it home. Bomb Shelter changed the way other artists in Fable made music, and they gave us J. Cole. How could you not say that's not impactful? Without Bomb Shelter, you have no J. Cole, maybe, possibly. Mr. Jones, I told you, I'll say this, the Elohim record, man, from Zef Lesson, it was a big record for me because it was the first local record I ever heard and saw posters of, for me personally, that Elohim record. I just come back from the Navy. I'd been gone a couple years.
I know what you're talking about.
And I came to my homeboy crib and he had the poster on the wall. So what's up with that, the Ankh? And he was like, that's Elohim. That's my boy Zeph. He played the record. I was like, yo, this is dope. This is right here.
I got a friend of mine that he don't call me Jones. He calls me L because of Elohim. That's dope. Like, yo, L, what you doing?
I don't know what the fuck that means, but.
Oh, good, man. You do understand what it means. You do. You do understand what it means. I'm just telling you the real story. I'm just breaking it down right quick. And this dude's going to walk off and shit.
We have Big Face walking off the camera.
Yo, Paul, never have so walk friends off here. On the show. Don't have friends up on here.
All right, so let me show how to come on this.
You don't need enough to walk off. And then he comes back. All right, here we go.
Let me throw out a name for y'all.
I would say Character Assassins, but MF they didn't have Doom. An album.
What about MF Doom?
Mr. J, I'm going to...
MF Doom?
I'm not going to do nothing, but I hear Paul. But Mr. J, we can build on that. I got you.
I think that's an interesting one. But the one that comes to my mind, I don't know if that's his first one, but that food album. So I don't know if that's the first one.
I don't know about that, but I do know about Character Assassins. Those are my brothers.
Oh, and this cat.
And you know what? I'll say this just because Mr. J brought it up. I remember going to the crib, going to the studio, and the brother said,
Paul playing police and shit. He policeman Paul tonight.
Nah, we already got flagged before when we wasn't doing nothing, and then now you're doing
something.
That was because
of your anti-Semitic remarks, sir. That was because of your anti-Semitic remarks.
Are you Jewish?
I eat some kosher like Nathan's.
You're Portuguese, man.
That guy said he got the Nathan's.
Kosher, ain't it?
Wow. That's funny to me. I'm sorry. That's funny.
What did I miss while I stepped away from Mr. Jones?
Who was on MF Doom? MF Doom.
Oh, it was Operation Doom. Operation Doomsday was the first album. That's the one. But
food.
So much stuff on it.
Food.
Food was like a different 2004.
Before when he changed to MF Doom, he was like, he really took the fuck off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can say the same thing about Titty Boy.
And I can't believe nobody said Busta Rhymes' first album. We're almost about to open with the podcast, and nobody said Busta Rhymes' first album.
I'm gonna be honest. I didn't say nothing because I'm the ultimate Busta Rhymes fan.
I was waiting for that album. Like you were waiting for that album. People were waiting for that album.
What Faith said. I was waiting, man.
And by the way, you forget he ran shit for quite a few years there. Every album he dropped was a major happening right after the last Boy Scout. He even got Rampage a deal, who was horrible, and he went fucking gold. That's how good Buster was. Rampage and Boy Scout was garbage.
Wow.
I was in the Rampage before Buster went solo. Rampage had a song. That's what I was listening to.
I know the dude.
Strange and the Great said I should stick up for Rampage because he used to be my boy, but the key word was used to be. So keep it going.
Rampage too.
Hey, yo, Paul, man, no time for beef right now. It's all love.
It ain't about beef. It ain't about like. Hell. He ain't have a great debut album. I'm sorry. He's not on the fucking list.
Hey, I don't know if he was the last Boy Scout. He wasn't the first one or the one in the middle. Right,
he's not on the list.
I'm chilling with Mr. J right now. Y'all cast profiles, man.
This is greatest good, debut good moment day. After debut album.
How you going to name your album after a flop shit, movie? If you're going to name your shit after a movie, don't name it after a flop.
The last Boy Scout. Wow. You saying it's like that first 5 seconds when that dude trotted out on that horse and shot somebody?
I got the Rampage album because I was on the Columbia mail list. Remember that list?
You got it because the Wild for the Night and you was disappointed as fuck.
Wild for the Night was hot as shit, but we was disappointed as fuck.
You paid 12 cents and you got 10 albums. That was one of them. And shit, the shit wouldn't work for a hate penny.
And every time you went back and did a different name.
I'm going back to what Paul said, man. Wild for the Night.
Say the motherfucker. I didn't bring up Rampage.
Y'all did.
Everybody's silent. All right.
I ain't gonna say fuck Rampage.
I'm about to head to the bar, get some buffalo shrimp and some Tito's and Red Bull.
Tito, let's go. Straight from Texas. All right.
So we got 5 minutes left. It looked like Big Face is out. You out?
I'm not. I'm contracted. Sir, I'm contractually obligated. Talk to my people after this show and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that contract later too.
Hey, yo, Mr. J, you got a contract.
Calm down, Mr. Jones. We can't even see you. You don't need no contract.
Man, I can see myself. I see y'all.
Those contracts those ain't death row contracts.
Well, that's the most important part, my dog, man.
Jones over there.
I know. Jones said, Jones said, fuck you, million viewers. I can see myself. You can't. I am the mystery man. We need to put a question mark on Mr. Jones.
I see you, man. I see you with the good haircut.
I see you when you're coming to move forward.
I see you, Paul.
Mr. You look like some headphones.
Peace, my brother. You good.
I know, sir, because I have liked it.
Anybody who forget
it. Your face. Your face.
I mentioned everybody other than I mentioned everybody that I could possibly like. There's plenty, man. Like I said, there's 100 great debut albums in hip hop. I mean, what about Far Side's Bizarre?
On the list.
All right, Far Side. Great job. Yeah. Great.
Dog Food.
Fabulous.
Dog Pound Dog Food.
Let's go.
Doggy Style by Snoop Dogg. Killer with the Chronic. After the Chronic, the Doggy Style came out, and you're like, wow.
And Snoop Dogg. Doggy Style.
That's what am I in Bizarro World?
What do you mean?
And I would throw a couple of other ones in there, like maybe like Main Source, Run the Jewels.
Good.
I like that.
Jewels had a big impact.
They say Lords of the Underground.
I like their first album. Their first album was incredible.
I might throw Jazz Effects over Lords of the Underground.
All right, cool. You know, I'm just talking.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting story because they definitely had a little bit of beef because of those videos, those first couple videos, like between Jazz Effects and Lords of the Underground.
There was a little bit of beef there.
So just so you know, from the source,
I'm friends with Jim, and I'm friends with Funky.
One at a time, fellas.
Mr. Jones. Yeah. So I'm friends with Do It All, and I'm friends with Funk. And so, yeah, there was definitely beef with Dos Effects back in the day. And the way that they feel like Dos took their style and then just amped it up. Because you know they what? Started
but,
that.
But I'm glad Jay said that because... Yeah. Dos Effects' first album, that's a game changer. Everybody started biting their style after that. I promise you. Wasn't nobody doing the diggity iggity. Man, these cats got the doom, doom, doom. You know what time it is when you hear that. I know. I see you leaning. I'm going to look like you. I love you so much, Face. I'm going to do you.
Right. I know. You love me so much, you finished all my sentences, my dude. All my sentences.
And yo, if people don't know, man, I used to go to Face Crib and eat food and watch 24. That's how far we go back.
And now we do podcasts and he bites it, jumps in all my shit I talk and never lets me finish nothing. That's what we do now.
All right, fellas, we got a couple minutes left. I'm going to throw out one name out there that's kind of new. And I think they had a big impact when they dropped their album. And that's the Migos.
Oh man, I'm gonna say this, and I'm just gonna jump off. When I heard no Master P, 10 bat, and they after me, one bat like a masterpiece, looking for a dunk like an athlete. I was like, yo, man, like, all right, I see what y'all are doing. You know, they. Me personally, as an MC, as a writer, I would say,
oh my God.
Yeah, I like that song. I like that song. I do. I like it a lot.
I thought, what does this guy do with the fucking Migos debut?
And these cats, they did something that I wanted to do in life, and they did it. I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, Ric Flair drip. Oh, you really got Ric Flair in the video? Yeah. Wow. I'm like, okay. What can I do?
Ric Flair drip.
Look it up, man. YouTube, Google.
I'll have to get with my assistant, have them Google that shit.
Don't lean back, man. We can't see you, man. You got camouflaged into the couch.
Am I really that dark? I can see myself.
Camouflaged into the couch.
Calm down, Charlie Murphy.
All right, hold on, man.
Calm down, Charlie. Right.
My phone is charged up now. Let's do another 3 hours right quick.
3 hours.
Ain't nothing in this all. Hell to the no.
Hold on, let me see this.
I like to welcome y'all to the Live from Vietnam. You see what the fuck we deal with in the 2-6? Mr. Jones and me walking through your barrio.
Tell you what, we pretty much covered everybody on my list. That's, I can tell you that much.
Well, who's left? Who's left? Who's left on the list?
Redman and OC and Slick Rick. Redman, OC, and Slick Rick.
It's funny how Slick Rick.
I love OC. Yeah.
But yeah, definitely.
Funky fly stuff.
I mean, I could get into what a lot of my favorite, like Helter Skelter or Boot Camp Click. I mean, I love their debut. I mean, that was what I was a fan of. But I mean,
I love the Boot Camp. The only thing that made me mad about that album. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, Mr. J, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr.
The only thing that made me mad about that album, there's a version of Buck 'Em Down that is not on the album. The video version is not on the album. You got to go find the signal. You got to go find the signal, find the B-side to find the video version. That was my favorite version of Buck 'Em Down. Was the video version.
Version? I like the other one.
Still searching.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. Still searching.
Cool, cool. Cool. You know, we're not going to have a cutting off family right quick.
Is it safe to say that all the groups had a pretty big impact when they dropped? Black Moon, Helter Skelter.
Man, we didn't say Slick
Rick. Smith and Weston. Smith and Weston.
Yeah, you're right. That was as a movement to me.
They had pretty big impacts when they dropped, all of them.
Well, we also didn't mention Gangstar's debut or Guru's debut of Jazzmatazz Volume 1 on his own, which was both dope.
That was on the list, but I didn't agree with it.
Well, no, I don't agree with it because Guru is my number two favorite. Like, Mos Def's my number one, Guru's my number two, straight up. But Jazzmatazz, it was good.
Can we name the name that's on the list that nobody but maybe Jones and Mr. J might have listened to the album?
Yeah, please do.
Blue and Exile.
I had no idea. I've never listened to the album.
You know what?
Listened to the first song today and said, yo, I'm convinced this is going to be a dope fucking album.
It's fire. I listened to it after we got on the phone and it's
Stranger
fire.
To Grace said Little Brother.
Yeah, absolutely.
North Carolina.
The state, yes. Yes. J. Cole's. What about J. Cole's Born Sinner?
Let's go. But the mixtapes are already fire, but yeah, you're right. What about KRS-One?
But to me, his work became better later.
He did that.
Let's stay with the J. Cole for a second.
Just to say, in my opinion on that, Jones is Jones. Jesus Christ!
My middle name is Christopher, so the JC works.
So J. Cole to me, his debut album was good enough to get him, you know, some more work. But his work got better later. Like, he really let go. You could tell in his career he was wanting to do what they wanted him to do, and then later he just did what he wanted. Once he started doing what he wanted, he was fine.
It's amazing that he got with he signed with a dude that's a major label dude starting a label, and this cat got to do the kind of music, even though he had to throw a single out there one or two times. But he's still from the it's real weird. You don't see that often. You know, and he wasn't cold, he was therapist. But you know, that's another story for another day.
The impact is pretty big for most of Fayetteville didn't even know who he was. We knew him as the therapist. You know, he didn't have no hit records, no major following, and the impact was pretty big out the gate.
Because he came here to shoot that, I got that fire video, and he involved the local bands, and then he threw his debut album party here, even though
and he blew up off a mixtape. And he blew up off a mixtape.
Yeah, so and he showed up at Grays Creek Keggers and whatever. You know, this is a fan. I mean, honestly, let's get over the fact that, I mean, at the end of the day, man, he a Fayetteville dude. So when you, whether no matter what any of us do in our lives, blow up, go to all over the world, I still want to come back to Fayetteville. I mean, this is my hometown. So you feel me? Like, regardless, he's just a Fayetteville dude.
I got a story, but it don't
fit. Because I'm out of here. I'm going to the bar. I'm going to give me some buffalo shrimp. All right,
and we're
going to
wrap it up. We're going to wrap it up, fellas.
Hey, Peace of Night Wonder. You know, he helped Jay-Z go platinum one time. I'm just saying. You know, he from Carolina. But anyway, all right.
All right, so anybody got a shout? Anybody want to shout anything out before they go? I'm going to shout out Dizzle real quick.
Like I said, Artists Block, November 18th. Doors open at 8 o'clock. Be there, Greensboro. You know what I mean? Go to www.empiremusic.com. Go get your tickets. Let's make this thing pop.
And be on the lookout for the Circle Kings podcast coming soon, hosted by Big Face, and a relaunch of 102.6 The Streets.
Hey, Face, can you give some information on the bare knuckles? What's good?
Well, that's what we touched with Paul talking about. Be on the lookout for that that Circle of Kings podcast with your local favorite hip hop and all combat sports cover. We got some huge names. We ain't gonna leak no names right now, but we got some huge nationwide names on the first show. And the relaunch, me and Paul have relaunched 102.6 The Streets, straight Fayetteville hip hop and R&B 24/7, 365 radio coming at you, internet radio. So be on the lookout. Got a lot going on.
Ready. I'm ready for it. Let's go.
All right, fellas. Till next week.
Salute. All y'all. Love y'all, man.
Beats by Trill, straight Killerville, dog.